You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me.
Hi. How's everybody? It is great to see you today. I know a kind of big and bold voice there. There we go. Welcome to St. Luke. Pray all is well with you. Let's hear, actually, no, I have one announcement to lift up. There was the head shake. Do not forget, please and thank you, that next Sunday after worship, this is June the 8th, we are going to be celebrating Nora Connor with a dinner down in the gym, and we want to celebrate her ministry. So let's make sure that we all get out there. Clapping is appropriate, 100%, yes. Yeah. You had some ready clappers on that one. It was good, rightly so. Let's take a look at the scripture. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with his laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and they have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first will be last. And what we've given you, this lens, is a quote from Irma Bombeck, famous humorist, writer, author, mother, sufferer of kidney disease from the time she was 20 years old till she was 69. And she once famously said this, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me. And simply what we're after the whole teaching series is you're on a mission. Every day when you wake up, you are just like the Blues Brothers. You're on a mission from God. And the question is ultimately, how are you going to use the time, the treasure, the talent that God has given you, that God has blessed you with in his abundant grace, to be a blessing to other people, to invite them into the kingdom, to invite them into the kingdom harvest. We've said that this life, it is not so much about what you get, nor is the mission, it's about what you give. In the end, the goal is not to amass the greatest balance sheet known to humanity. The goal is to use everything that God has given you, to show up before him saying, man, I used it all. I used it all. I used everything that you gave me to the best of my ability. That's what it's all about. And the question is ultimately this, how am I going to use the dash that I'm given from the beginning of my life to the end of my life? This short little dash in the greater story that God is writing, how am I going to use it? You know, one of my favorite people from the church that discipled Mandy and I was a master of using his dash. He was the guy who, no disrespect to my professors at Asbury Theological Seminary, who I love and hold in the highest of regards, this guy knew scripture than anybody I've ever met. I mean, he could quote it. And I'm not talking the easy stuff. I'm talking the obscure minor prophets, like nobody reads that stuff to begin with. He knew it all. And he gave his time, his counsel, wisdom. He was always there to serve. He helped his neighbor, constantly pouring out his time and his effort and his energy towards other people. When he was at the end of his life, he invited his children to come into his room, and he had 6 or 7 kids. All the grandkids show up. I kind of picture this Mark chapter 2, the room was so stuffed to the brim with people, and he laid his hands on each one of them and blessed them, and about an hour later, he passed away. At his funeral, they told story after story after story after story. You all have been to at least one of those where you wonder, like, are we going to get to dinner tonight at some point? Or that was his funeral. Because there were just so many stories to tell. He left a legacy. He used his dash well. And that's really part of the heart of the final lesson from this parable that I'm sharing with you today is, how are you going to use the dash in your life? What sort of legacy are you going to leave? And that's at the heart of the parable of the kingdom that Jesus tells us, that the kingdom life, it is abundant. It's abundant. The 11th hour people receive grace, just as the first hour people receive grace. And it's all about grace. And at the heart of it, the landowner invites everyone to receive the abundant grace and use that abundant grace in their life. I suppose you have to ask, how are you going to use the dash you've been given to live and to leave a legacy? Is your funeral going to be easy to preach? Or is the preacher going to go, well, what are we going to put together today? See, part of it's rooted in a worldview, a theology of sorts. Abundance or scarcity. We've already talked about this. The landowner takes on an abundance mentality. How do I use the time, the treasure, the talent God has given to invest in the people of the kingdom? That's the abundant grace. In fact, notice this. It doesn't matter whether you're an 11th hour person or a first hour person, how much do you receive? The same. Abundant grace. Whether you come in early or you come in late or you come in somewhere in the middle, the gift, the grace is the same. It's abundant. The first hour people don't feel ripped off. They didn't have anxiety throughout the day wondering, am I going to be hired? Am I going to get to use my gifts and my talents? And the last hour people, they were just thankful that they received the same abundance that the first hour people did. It's all abundant grace in the end, and that's God's legacy. It's the reason that we read the scriptures, friends. You know, I realize that the two answers to everything in church are one, Jesus, and then second, the Bible. But the reason we read the Bible is it helps us recall and learn and study the character of God, which is all about abundant grace. I mean, think about what God does. In the beginning, God created. Very first verse of the Bible, abundant grace. Did God have to create anything? Nope. Honestly, would it have been easier for him if he didn't create anything? Yep. By the time we get to the third chapter, the story's already gone haywire. By the time we get to Noah, it's complete chaos. And then he starts over with Abram. And Abram, man, he's crazy too. Have you not read the story of the patriarchs? My goodness, it rivals Days of Our Lives. Not to mention the fact that then you get into the Exodus, and after God chooses in abundant grace this nobody people, a people who are brickmakers in Egypt, what's the first thing that they do when they get to the wilderness? They whine. They whine. I got to tell you, by the time I got to Noah, I would have been done. I don't know about you. And yet what we find is grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. God continues to abundantly lavish it. Even after he builds the entire kingdom of Israel with everything that they could ever possibly need, God pours out more abundant grace. They lose the kingdom, and God himself takes on abundant grace in bodily form. We know him as Jesus. The Son of God becomes a living, breathing, dying, rising again human being to pour out abundant grace on each one of us. It's the heart of who God is. He's not a God of scarcity. He's a God of abundance. And this runs so counter to the culture in which we are raised and a part of. Our culture is not a culture of abundant grace. It's a culture that's rooted in fairness. And fairness is always built upon the idea of merit. Did I earn it? Do I deserve it? Am I perceived as worthy of it? That's why we make contracts, yes? Is the contract fair? Does the contract protect me and protect you? Does the contract afford me certain things which I expect and you're required to deliver? And if it doesn't, well, then that's not fair. Brothers and sisters, fairness kills the legacy of grace. And just so you don't miss it, let me help you this morning that God is a God of abundant grace. God doesn't make contracts, friends. Have you ever tried to make one with him, though? Anybody? Yeah, those of you who put your hands up, I appreciate your honesty. The rest of you, I love you, but you're lying. And we do, don't we? Like, God, if you'll just, then I'll. Or if you'll show me, then okay. Or if you could just let me know, God doesn't do contracts. As much as I've tried, and I imagine as much as you try, God doesn't do contracts, he does covenants. I think about this amazing covenant that God makes in Scripture with Abram. Abram's nobody. He left his father's house and his father's God, and he goes to this land that God shows him, and he says, Abram, look up at the stars in the sky. You see how numerous they are? I'm going to make your descendants more numerous than they are. Did Abram do anything to deserve it? Did he do anything to earn it? No, not a thing. In fact, the covenant isn't made, and it's a glorious bloody mess afterwards. The covenant's not made until God gives the promise. The promise is abundant grace, the grace to Abram, and Abram makes the covenant with God based upon the grace of God, the faithfulness of God, which is part of the character of God. And in the same way, the landowner makes a covenant promise, just as God makes covenant promises with us. All throughout the day, it doesn't matter whether you come in the first hour or the last hour. Come and work in my field. I'll provide for you. There's abundant grace. God acts and we trust. That's abundant grace. We don't try to negotiate a hard deal. There's no t-shirt that says, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. That's not the way that it works, friends. It's all about abundant grace, God's abundant grace. And I think the parable illumines this for us, especially in the heart of the landowner at the very beginning of the day. I keep going back to the first verse because it's so rich. The first verse tells us about the heart of the landowner. Look at what the scripture says to us. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who... Say that again. He's like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Trusting God with what I've got. I went out. That's what we're called to do, yes? It's the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Not, hey, sit around and make a contract. Sit around and bargain with God. Sit around and complain that it's not fair that he has more or she has more. Went out. You've been given abundant grace. God has forgiven you of sin. God has deposited his Holy Spirit in you as the assurance of that forgiveness. God has given you spiritual gifts and talents to use. And because of all that God has abundantly and generously poured out into your life, we go out. And that's what the landowner does five times during the day, from the minute the sun comes up to the moment that the sun goes down. He goes out because that's the character of God. We love and serve a God who goes out. with the people of Israel. A God who goes out in the incarnation of Jesus. A God who goes out with his people wherever they go on the mission. The mission's not about what we get. The mission's about what we give, because the God who gives, the God who gives abundant grace, is a God who goes out with us on the mission. He says, wherever you go, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. That's the legacy. That's the heart of the dash. Amen. Will you go out? In fact, that's the question. Will you go out? In what ways will you use the time and the treasure and the talent that God has given you? And I'm not just talking about the big things. I'm talking about the small ones too. With the neighbor who's a pain in your backside. With the people at work you don't like. With them too. Will you go out? Here's what's so hard. The dash is changing. In fact, you see it in the construction of how modern cities are growing. Did you realize that at the heart of every city that was constructed before the last 100 years or so, at the center of town was always a cemetery? In fact, Lexington is constructed in this way. We have the gorgeous Lexington Cemetery right there at the middle of town. And it served as a stark reminder of how important your dash was and the recognition that there's something beyond the dash itself, yes? There in the center of town were also churches. And now, as you look at modern cities, where are the cemeteries relocated to? The edge of town. Where are the churches? On the periphery. Because we don't want to think about that. And in some ways, look, it's been good. Over the last 200 years, we've had fantastic advancements in medical technology. We've figured out how to help people live longer. We have less disease. There are less of our younger folks who head off to war and die. But we've ended up having a hard time confronting death, and it's affected the way that we live in the dash. It becomes all about the moment instead of recognizing that the moment builds us for what God has in store for us for all of eternity. That the way we use our time and our treasure and our talent in the moment is a reflection of the abundance of grace that God has for us in the life to come. And so we spend it, and it's frivolous, and we throw it away, and we forget that this dash, this little part that we have to play in the grand story of what God is doing, truly matters. That in the end, the harvest is the harvest of the kingdom. In the end, we have an opportunity for everyone that we interface with in sharing our time and our treasure and our talents. We have an opportunity to bring them into the eternal life, the abundant grace that Jesus offers. How are you going to use your dash? What are you going to use it for? How will it reflect the goodness and the character of the grace of an abundant God? You're faced with that question every moment and every day. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? What will they say about you when you're gone? He had a big house, drove a fast car, knew every UK statistic there ever was. Is it important? Sure. Is it eternal? I'm sorry, but it's not. What's your legacy going to be? Because in the end, here's the picture that I get. Show up before God on that great and glorious day. And Jesus says, oh, Brian Abel, I know that's how it's going to start. And he says, you're kind of a train wreck for a while. Yeah. But you received grace. I think the only thing I want to say in that moment to not mess it up is abundant grace. Thank you. And I picture Jesus smiling and then asking the most critical question by which I try to live my life every day. Who did you bring with you? That's what it's all about. That's why you've been given the time and the treasure and the talent you've been given in your life. How are you going to use that short dash to leave a legacy and to help others live into the abundant grace that God has for them? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you're good. You're not just good to us, you're good for us. And God, we thank you that you're a God of abundant grace. You pour it out, you lavish it upon us. In fact, the whole of Scripture witnesses to this. And we recognize the abundant grace that's poured out in this parable we've studied for the last 5 weeks. We know that in 5 weeks, we can't do it justice because there's an eternity of life lessons which come from it. But we see the legacy that you've called us to live and to leave. We see the abundant grace that we're called to share with others. And we recognize in this life that seems scarce, there truly is an abundance of investment we can make, which leads to the life to come. And so, Jesus, we want to come to the table today, first saying, forgive us. Forgive us for where we fall short in living that kind of life that leaves a legacy. Forgive us for lacking trust in the abundant grace that you gave us in your death and resurrection. And we pray, O God, that as we come to this table today, that you would fill us. Fill us with physical and spiritual food. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit, that we might go out and live and lead and leave the kind of legacy you've called us to live. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.